This is Audible.
Overcoming Unwanted Intrusive Thoughts by Sally M. Winston and Martin N. Seif. Narrated by Sen Annis. Introduction. Have you ever stood on the edge of a train platform, minding your own business, and then suddenly, out of the blue, had the brief thought, I could jump off and die? Or have you been struck by the passing thought, hey, I could push that guy onto the tracks? When a room full of people is asked these questions, 90% of them will acknowledge they have. But there is a second set of questions to ask that is much more important and contains the key to the issues in this book. Do you get upset or worried that your thoughts might actually lead you to do something awful? Or are you plagued by a thought that you might have already done something bad and somehow it slipped past you? Or that the fact that this thought has crossed your mind must mean something important? Or is there a thought that drives you crazy because you just can't manage to get it out of your mind? Do you live in dread that having bizarre, repetitive, repugnant, or unrelenting thoughts means something shameful or terrible about you? Do you hope and pray that these thoughts won't come around again? But they do, and they continue to haunt you. They have become stuck. These upsetting, distressing, frightening thoughts that enter your mind unbidden are called unwanted intrusive thoughts. Sane and good people have them. If you are plagued by thoughts you don't want, thoughts that scare you, and thoughts you can't tell anyone, this book may change your life. Our first message is that you are not alone. There are millions of people who have thoughts just like yours. Good people have awful thoughts. Violent thoughts come from gentle people. Crazy thoughts occur for people who are not the least bit crazy. You are not the only one who experiences repeating thoughts that just won't leave your mind. Our best guesstimate is that there are upwards of 6 million people in the United States alone who at some point in their lives suffer from unwanted intrusive thoughts. The silence, fear and shame surrounding the issue increase the suffering and isolation of many good people. You bear your burdens in isolation, not knowing that there are many others just like you. Our second message is that you are very brave. You are brave to pick up this book and read this far. More than anything, because you think these thoughts might mean something important and could be dangerous, you work to keep these thoughts out of your mind. And we are sure that you have tried everything to do just that. So buying this book and reading about the subject is an act of courage. Struggling the way you have probably discovered a very frustrating and important truth. Trying to keep thoughts out of your mind doesn't work for you. It doesn't work for anybody. And so we start with another basic truth. If you continue to do what you've always done, you are going to get what you've always got. In other words, if you want a different outcome, you will have to try a different method. We would like you to start with the realization that there is nothing wrong with you, but there is something quite wrong with your method. And here is where this book can be helpful. We believe that giving your thoughts a name, helping you understand that you are not alone, and addressing the thoughts without shame and fear will go a long way toward reducing your misery. But that is certainly not all. You are going to learn what we now know about unwanted intrusive thoughts, the various types of them, what keeps them going, and the very best approaches to living a life without the misery of these stuck thoughts. Helpful fact: there is nothing wrong with you, just the way you are dealing with your thoughts. This is typical of the notes we receive from people who have read accurate information about unwanted intrusive thoughts. I've had an anxiety disorder for more than 11 years, and I've had intrusive thoughts much of those times. My therapists haven't had much understanding of them, and as I'm sure you're very aware, it can be crippling to try to tell someone about them. Reading your article on intrusive thoughts, and especially how you clearly stated that they are often violent or sexual, has given me so much more hope. I thought this was my sick, twisted mind that no one would accept. Seeing it given a name and written so clearly is revelatory and has given me the confidence to seek more help. Good help for unwanted intrusive thoughts is hard to find and access. Talking with sympathetic friends or family who do not understand is usually not helpful and can often make things worse. There is no other modern self-help book devoted exclusively to this issue. Even if you are able to overcome fears about disclosing your thoughts, you may not be receiving well-informed help. And, unfortunately, this problem rarely goes away on its own. You may have talked to a therapist about your unwanted intrusive thoughts. Or you may even have a diagnosed condition of which unwanted intrusive thoughts are a component. If you aren't getting relief from your unwanted intrusive thoughts, this book is for you. Not all therapists know the most effective ways to deal with unwanted intrusive thoughts, or you may be hesitant to talk about them. This book provides a unique, practical, working program to lead you to a life that is free from the dread, demoralization, and suffering that these thoughts now bring. How to get the most out of this book. Remember that knowledge is power, and the more you know about unwanted intrusive thoughts, the better you will be able to free yourself from the misery they bring. This book is meant to be read from beginning to end, and we are firmly convinced that you will get the most benefit from it if you do that. We understand that you are anxious to start the process of ridding yourself of unwanted intrusive thoughts. You will start learning how in the very first pages, continuing through each subsequent chapter. So we would like you to consider the initial chapters of this book as the initial steps of your recovery. In fact, you might find that the first few chapters are all you need to get over them. Chapter 1 is filled with facts, including the latest information about unwanted intrusive thoughts. Chapter 2 provides a comprehensive description of the various types of unwanted intrusive thoughts. Chapter 3 debunks the myths that contribute to unwanted intrusive thoughts, and in Chapter 4, we share the answers to questions that people often ask. In Chapter 5, you will learn about how your brain makes these intrusions such a bother. We also show how certain passing thoughts become stuck and then turn into unwanted intrusive thoughts. We explain why your best attempts to cope have been unsuccessful and why many of the traditional anxiety management techniques can actually be counterproductive in Chapter 6. Good explanations are good treatment. Helpful fact. Just knowing accurate information about unwanted intrusive thoughts will make them feel less distressing. In chapters 7 through 9, you will see specific suggestions for the changes in beliefs and attitude required and the way to train your mind, brain, and body to react in an entirely different manner. Most chapters build on the knowledge base and practical information presented previously. Knowing what you know and applying it systematically will get you over the pain, bewilderment, frustration, and terror that these intrusive thoughts can bring. Chapter 10 is a straightforward discussion of when self-help is not likely to be enough and it is time to seek professional help. Finally, in keeping with our belief that many of us take ourselves and our thoughts too seriously, we have added a light-hearted appendix with a recipe for essentially what not to do about intrusive thoughts. Will recovery be easy? Probably not, because you will have to unlearn many unhelpful thinking habits, as well as your automatic emotional reactions to these thoughts and the ways you try to avoid them. You will be learning new, more helpful ways of responding to these false tyrants in your mind. You will need to practice these new ways of addressing your thoughts, as they do not feel natural at first. But we will also explain how to practice and the ways to retrain your emotional reactions. And, just as you can't learn to dance by only reading about dance steps, we will encourage you to get onto the dance floor of your mind and work out your missteps as they occur. Will recovery be difficult? Probably, yes. But consider the alternative and the quality of life you are living right now. It will not be as difficult as you may think if you truly understand that your current beliefs about these thoughts and what they mean are not supported by what we now know about them. It is not what you think. You are in no danger from weird, scary, and disturbing unwanted thoughts. The answer is learning an entirely new relationship to thoughts, which is being neither scared nor ashamed of them. Gradually, you will learn to tame those bullies in your head and live a life that is free from their torment. Chapter 1. Recovering from Unwanted Intrusive Thoughts. Recovering from unwanted intrusive thoughts is multifaceted. It begins with knowing what thoughts mean and what they don't. It involves an understanding of how particular thoughts become stuck and keep repeating. It encompasses an explanation of why your harmless intrusive thoughts feel so disturbing and dangerous. And it means learning to substitute your present, unhelpful ways of coping with an approach that will train your brain, body, and emotions to react differently. Your goal, of course, is to eliminate the fear, frustrations, guilt, and misery that unwanted intrusive thoughts can bring. Each of these facets constitutes a step on the way to recovery. Each step provides some relief, and all the steps together constitute the journey to recovery upon which we now embark. Just about everyone has intrusive thoughts. They are the uninvited thoughts that jump into the mind and do not seem to be part of the ongoing flow of intentional thinking. Intrusive thoughts are common, but for most people, they are quickly forgotten and create minimal or no discomfort. For someone who isn't struggling with or worrying about intrusive thoughts, they provide weird, uncomfortable, or even funny moments, and then they are over. Sometimes they startle. Most intrusive thoughts, no matter how bizarre or repugnant, occupy only a few moments. People rarely mention them or think about them again. They are just not worth mentioning, unless they are really funny. Helpful fact: almost everyone has passing intrusive thoughts. Here is an intrusive thought that I had while writing this paragraph. I hope we lose power in this storm so I don't have to keep working. The thought went winging by, and I made nothing of it. But here's the thing. If I were worried about my mind, or my motives, or my thoughts, I might be embarrassed to write this. I might worry about what the thought could mean about me. Shouldn't I be enjoying my work? Does this mean I should retire? Am I getting burned out? Could I be depressed if I want an excuse not to write this book? Why am I not concentrating? Do I really want to lose power? What is wrong with me that I thought that? Or I might wonder that perhaps I have received a special message, and my thought means that I really am going to lose power, in which case I should probably go get some candles right now. Instead, I do nothing at all. The moment passes. It was just a thought not worth even considering what it means. I go back to writing. There are times when anyone can be reminded of a previous intrusive thought and shake his or her head. Oh, I remember that this is the elevator where I had that utterly weird experience of thinking that I was going to suddenly shout out an obscenity. Sometimes, for a while, elevators and thoughts about shouting out obscenities get temporarily stuck to each other. One is associated with the other. It means nothing. The human mind just makes associations like that automatically. The experience, while strange, is unimportant and goes away. An unwanted intrusive thought starts as just an ordinary intrusive thought, weird, funny, or repugnant as it may be. But not wanting the thought, worrying about it, or fighting with it stops it from passing quickly. Chances are, you don't want it because you are upset or turned off by the content. But that is just the beginning. Because you worry about it, reject it, and try to push it out of your mind, it pushes back and becomes a recurring thought or image. After a while, it starts to redirect your attention. It starts arriving with a whoosh and feels awful, disgusting, or dreaded. It contains an urgent feeling of needing to get rid of it. The content of many unwanted intrusive thoughts is aggressive, sexual, taboo, anxiety-provoking, or self-derogatory. An unwanted intrusive thought sometimes feels like an impulse to perform an unwanted action. Other times, it feels impossibly stuck in your head. Your efforts to deal with it become all-encompassing and take up so much time, mental energy, and focus that your quality of life is degraded. Unwanted intrusive thoughts tend to recur repeatedly and seem to increase in intensity over time. Eventually, along with an increase in the frequency and intensity of the thoughts themselves, you might start to doubt and fear your own safety, intentions, morality, self-control, and sanity. Natural voices of the mind. Our mind has many natural voices, and their interplay makes our mental lives interesting and colorful. We can all identify an internal critical voice that stands guard, issuing judgments and comments, most of which we would never say out loud. We also have voices that monitor feedback from others, check on our physical well-being, calculate how much time we have left to finish a task, and let us know what we are feeling when we tune in. There are many more. The voices are natural parts of our mind, as we divide up the tasks of the day, make choices, and adapt to the demands of daily living. In the case of unwanted intrusive thoughts, there are three voices that are particularly relevant. Their messages and interactions work to maintain the problem. By providing distinct examples of these voices, we hope to make it easier for you to observe these same processes in your own mind. And this will help you make the fundamental shift in your relationship with your thoughts that relieves the distress. So, we introduce you to the voices that we call worried voice, false comfort, and wise mind. As you proceed through this book, we will present a variety of dialogues and commentaries involving these voices. Each of these voices sends messages that are consistent with its name. We will help you understand how best to relate to them when they pop up and intrude into your mind. Let's start with worried voice, the voice of frightening imaginings. Worried voice is the voice of what if. Worried voice articulates the fears and doubts and misguided conclusions that predict tragedies and awful outcomes. This voice can seem irrational, ridiculous, even perverse, or downright crazy. Sometimes worried voice issues strange or urgent warnings. It interrupts, annoys, scares, and talks back. Worried voice raises anxiety. Worried voice is often the first voice to react to an intrusive thought or new sensation. Next is false comfort. False comfort invariably follows the what if of worried voice. False comfort is disturbed by these questions and tries to remove the discomfort. We call this voice false comfort because it never achieves its goal. It often gives brief relief and the illusion of rationality. But it does not ultimately silence worried voice. In fact, it does the opposite. False comfort almost always triggers yet another what if or doubt from worried voice. False comfort is actually so disturbed and frightened by worried voice that it continuously tries to argue, control, avoid, suppress, reassure, reason with, neutralize, or work around whatever worried voice comes up with. False comfort tries hard, but ultimately fails to lower anxiety. It often gets angry at or ashamed of worried voice and wishes it would just go away. It is afraid that some of the thoughts that pop up in worried voice indicate craziness, danger, annoyance, perversion, being out of control, or being disgusting. When unwanted intrusive thoughts happen, worried voice and false comfort invariably launch into a back-and-forth argument. This is the commentary that is part and parcel of every unwanted intrusive thought. Helpful fact. Your commentary, in the form of the back-and-forth arguments between worried voice and false comfort, can be the most distressing aspect of your unwanted intrusive thought. Finally, we welcome wise mind, who watches the constant arguments between worried voice and false comfort from afar, saying relatively little. Wise mind is calm, unimpressed, and unaffected. It knows worried voice can't help itself and that false comfort truly thinks it is helping. However, wise mind knows that false comfort is actually spurring worried voice on, keeping the process going without realizing it. In contrast, wise mind is disentangled, free of effort, and accepting of uncertainty. It is curious, and sometimes even amused by things that upset the others. Wise mind demonstrates mindful, compassionate awareness. Mindfulness is a state of open and active attention to the present, moment by moment. It involves the experience of observing your thoughts, feelings, and sensations without judgment or evaluation. A mindful attitude is made possible because there is a part of you that can stand back and look at your experiences, in real time, with perspective. We will show you that a mindful attitude is enormously helpful in ridding yourself of unwanted intrusive thoughts, and we will explain how to apply this attitude when needed. Here is an example of how the three voices react to a thought. Worried voice. That kitten is so cute and vulnerable. What if I strangled it? It would be so easy. False comfort. You would never do that. Worried voice. Look, my fingers just fit around its neck. False comfort. Don't be ridiculous. You are kind and loving. Worried voice. How do you know that? I had that surge of road rage yesterday. What if I can't help myself? False comfort. You just felt angry. You didn't do anything. Just stop thinking that. It won't happen. Worried voice. There is always a first time, and I wonder if there is something sick inside of me. Why else would I have such a thought? False comfort. Just think about something else. Let's get away from the kitten. This is crazy. You are thinking crazy thoughts. Worried voice. So you think I have crazy thoughts? Wise mind. Let me step in here, please. These are just thoughts. I watch the two of you fight. I'm observing your commentary. I notice the more you argue, the more upset you get, and the more it seems like a real issue that needs attention. It is actually a wild intrusion of a thought that can happen to anyone and essentially means nothing. What would happen if you just let them be? Let them remain as thoughts. Helpful fact. Observing and letting go of your commentary will go a long way toward gaining some relief from your intrusive thoughts. Why thoughts get stuck. A psychologist named Daniel Wegener studied the phenomenon that he called the ironic process of the mind. Another psychologist, Lee Bayer, called the same process the imp of the mind, referring to a short story by Edgar Allan Poe entitled The Imp of the Perverse. The phenomenon is that when you try not to think of something, you end up thinking about it even more. It's ironic. Your mind can be quite impish. Here is a simple way to experience this process. Exercise. Observing your own ironic process. This demonstration will take less than 10 minutes, and it consists of two parts. Part 1. Set a timer for 2 minutes. Sit comfortably, close your eyes, and pay attention to what you think, feel, hear, and smell. You may think about anything you want, anything at all, except for one thing. Under no circumstances should you think about carrots. Not the word carrot, not the smell of carrots, not the taste. Nothing with carrots in it. No carrot cake, no carrot salad, and certainly no Bugs Bunny. It might help to stay away from the color orange as well. Now, start the timer and do your best to keep your thoughts away from carrots. After the timer goes off, ask yourself how well you did. Now, most people will report that they failed to be completely free of carrots. The effort to not think about carrots backfires. In fact, the effort itself is doomed to failure. The more you try to rid your mind of carrots, the more insistent the thought becomes. So trying not to think about carrots is a form of thinking about them. Part 2. In this portion of the exercise, you will set your timer for 5 minutes. Your task is to try to keep your mind completely free of carrots for 5 minutes. As in the first part of the exercise, sit comfortably and give yourself permission to think about anything at all, except carrots. Start the timer, and each time you think of carrots, you must reset the timer back to 5 minutes. Your task is simply to go 5 minutes without thinking of carrots. Be honest. Ready? Get set. Go. Now look at what happened. Most people report that they think of carrots after just a few seconds, so they reset the timer. But then it happens again, and the timer is once again reset. After a while, the task starts to seem impossible. You become frustrated, annoyed, and even angry. And each time the thought comes back sooner and sooner. Almost no one is able to go 5 minutes. And so you end the exercise with the timer still ticking away. But let's look at what you have done. You have created a stuck thought. The content of the thought is carrots, which is about as uncontroversial and non-upsetting as can be. But that thought has become stuck in your mind. You really couldn't care less about carrots one way or the other. It is your attempt to follow the assignment that has now created all those thoughts about carrots. Your attempt to control your mind has backfired. The simple truth is that what you resist tends to persist. This is the basic paradox, the ironic process, at work in making unwanted intrusive thoughts so persistent. Thoughts stick because of the energy you expend to fight them. Your assignment was to fight the thoughts, but they fight back. Worried voice. Carrots make me think about sex. Anything shaped like that does. What kind of a person thinks like that? I'm disgusting. False comfort. This is supposed to be a neutral topic. Think about something neutral. Worried voice. I can't help it. False comfort. Just distract yourself. Put your mind on another topic. Worried voice. I have these thoughts all the time, you know? Maybe I truly am a disgusting person. False comfort. Why am I stuck with you? Why won't you just shut up and listen to me? False comfort would like worried voice to just stop offering unwanted intrusive thoughts. It tries to help worried voice stop, but it doesn't work. False comfort objects to every one of those thoughts, but worried voice just can't help where its mind goes. Helpful fact. Thoughts stick because of the energy you expend to fight them. Thoughts that get stuck. The thoughts you most do not want to have are the ones that get stuck. Of course, that makes so much sense. So we find that people who are struggling with violent thoughts are people who value gentleness, find violence abhorrent, and live non-violent, caring lives. People who have felt assaulted by thoughts of hurting others are loving people. That is why these thoughts are fought, and then become stuck. Similarly, people who believe that all vulnerable people and living things should be protected are people who fight common intrusive thoughts that sometimes involve actions like abusing children, throwing cats out windows, and dropping babies. These are the thoughts you fight, and because you fight them, they stick. If you are someone with strong religious beliefs, you sometimes come up with blasphemous thoughts and worry thoughts about not being faithful. These are the thoughts you fight, and they stick. Thoughts about chairs and fruit salad and trees don't stick because they are neutral thoughts. Neutral thoughts are not fought because no one cares about them, so they don't stick. So the content of unwanted intrusive thoughts is the opposite of what you want to be thinking about. It is the opposite of your values, the opposite of your wishes, and the opposite of your character. It is the opposite of you. Helpful fact. Unwanted intrusive thoughts get stuck because you inadvertently fuel them by trying to push them away. Intrusive thoughts versus impulses. You might be afraid that you are going to act on your intrusive thoughts and actually do the things that run through your mind. Because unwanted intrusive thoughts tend to get stuck and repeat when you struggle with them, they increase in intensity. Every time you fight them, they fight back. So there is a very intense feeling that goes with them, a whoosh of fear and sometimes shame, disgust, or anger. This can make them feel like impulses, as if somehow you were being pushed, impelled, or provoked to do something out of control, ridiculous, or dangerous. This feeling can be very disturbing, but you need not worry. It is an illusion, a paper tiger, a false alarm. Your brain is issuing warnings where none are needed. Suffering about unwanted intrusive thoughts is a disorder of over-control, not under-control. Under-control disorders are sometimes known as impulsivity. Disorders of over-control are usually accompanied by a problem with doubt or uncertainty. Put the two together, trying to control those things you cannot control, in this case, your thoughts, and wanting to be absolutely 100% sure that nothing bad will happen, and you have the formula for unwanted intrusive thoughts. People who are impulsive act first and think later. People with unwanted intrusive thoughts are overthinkers. The problem is that unwanted intrusive thoughts may well be experienced as if they were impulses, and you might even feel that you have to work hard to control yourself. We will address this issue later on, when we discuss anxious thinking and the altered state of consciousness it brings about. For now, however, you can rest assured that impulses and intrusive thoughts are opposite sides of a continuum. They just can't be any more different, despite how they might feel. Helpful fact. Despite how they might feel, impulses and intrusive thoughts couldn't be more different. When intrusive thoughts are likely to happen. Unwanted intrusive thoughts fluctuate in frequency and intensity. As you understand that intrusive thoughts are thoughts that are stuck in your mind, then you realize that this is most likely to occur when your mind is especially sticky. There are a host of factors, some psychological and others physiological, that affect thought stickiness. You might already have discovered some of the factors. People are much more prone to unwanted intrusive thoughts when they are fatigued, have slept poorly, or are in a bad mood. Anxious, crabby, irritable, feeling down or blue. If you are a woman who is menstruating, hormonal changes during your cycle can increase the frequency and intensity of your unwanted intrusive thoughts. Certain drugs, such as caffeine, over-the-counter drugs, and physician-prescribed medications, such as steroids and asthma medications, can as well. The day after consuming alcohol is usually a sticky day for most people. And some kinds of marijuana produce instant stickiness. Stickiness can fluctuate during the day and is often the worst in the morning, almost as soon as you are awake, and when you are lying down to sleep. Worried voice. Oh no, I drank too much last night and feel hungover. This is not a good day to go shopping. What if I have those awful thoughts about people in the store? I have a headache, so I think I will stay home and avoid being around people. False comfort. That's okay. Why add stress when you feel bad? We can go tomorrow. Worried voice. I just know I am going to get stuck in a line and start having those terrible thoughts about the person in front of me. It always happens on days like this. I will wait till tomorrow. Wise mind. You know that some days our mind is stickier than other days, and it is easy to get worried about having sticky thoughts on those days. But avoiding makes the mind even stickier. It suggests that you are fragile or impaired on sticky mind days. You feel resentful, and you miss out on things. And you give yourself a message that somehow sticky thoughts are more dangerous on those days. Go on out. Shopping thoughts are just thoughts, even in sticky times. Any situation that is uncertain and has high stakes is a perfect place for stickiness of the mind to increase. As soon as it seems important to know something 100% for sure, that is where unwanted intrusive thoughts will find their opening. For example, if, while cleaning, you have an intrusive thought that you may pour cleaning fluid into the flower pot, the worst that can happen is a dead plant. Take that same intrusive thought and imagine you might feed the cleaning fluid to your baby. Now the stakes are instantly higher, and the chance for the thought to get stuck increases. For the same reason, the mind can be stickier on an airplane than at home. In this example, worried voice has an intrusive thought about something that is very unlikely to happen, but whose stakes are very high. That scares false comfort. They begin to argue. Wise mind adds a few thoughts. Worried voice. Maybe I should wash my hands after shaking that guy's hand. I don't know him. Oh, God. He looks like he's an international traveler. Maybe he picked up dengue fever. Or maybe even Ebola. False comfort. I hadn't even thought of that. But it's always a safe thing to wash your hands. I don't think he has Ebola. I thought it was eliminated. The outbreak is over, and he looks okay.
And I don't think dengue can get here unless a mosquito goes on the plane. But what would be the chances of that?
Worried voice. You never know.
I realize now I have a sore on my hand.
What if the virus got into me? False comfort. That is so unlikely. There is almost no chance of that happening. Worried voice. And if it does? False comfort. You are making me nervous. Just stop it. Try to think of something else. Or wash once and be done with it. Worried voice. But we don't want to get sick. And Ebola is a killer. Why risk that? Wise mind. Look, you guys, nothing in life is risk-free. Really, nothing. You can live with it or drive yourselves nuts around it. It's up to you. Wise mind is providing the voice of acceptance and surrender to these thoughts. It points out that seeking a perfect, 100% risk-free world is useless and self-defeating, and that both worried voice and false comfort could lead happier lives if they stopped fighting and allowed their thoughts to exist without debate. Trigger: personal experiences. Of course, if you personally experience a really awful event, that high-impact event can trigger the emergence of unwanted intrusive thoughts. Here is an example. We were horrified this past March with the shocking suicide of my younger sister. She seemed to be the most upbeat person you could ever imagine, with everything going for her, and seemed perfectly normal to us. I think this is where my intrusive thoughts, "Oh God, if she did this, maybe I will too," came from. I found myself doing everything I could to make sure that would not happen. This has been counterproductive for my anxiety. I found myself looking at YouTube videos about suicide to make sure I would never do anything like that. That was a great mistake. Here is how worried voice and false comfort might react to a personal tragedy. Notice how their dialogue just continues to increase distress. Worried voice. Dad just died of a heart attack. He was only 63. That could be us. Look at how out of breath we are. That could be a sign. False comfort. We just went to the cardiologist. She said everything is fine. Worried voice. But things can happen suddenly. Look at that runner who died while he was in a race. False comfort. We can't be going to the doctor all the time. She already thinks we are hypochondriacs. Let's just take our pulse and blood pressure at home every day. We feel better when it is okay. Worried voice. How can we be sure the machine is working right? I think maybe several times a day. False comfort. Don't be silly. Of course it is working. Okay, let's do it twice a day. Worried voice. Don't just humor me. This is important. We could die. False comfort. You just need to trust things will be okay. Worried voice. There must be a reason I keep thinking about death. I can't just trust anyone. What if I have a sixth sense? Highly upsetting, shocking, or dramatic events can raise the level of anxiety and even seem to change the probabilities of unrelated bad things happening. Events like these can make terrible occurrences seem more likely, and so you work even harder to make sure they never happen to you. Traumatic events can be major triggers of unwanted intrusive thoughts, and we will speak about this in Chapter 2 when we discuss the types of unwanted intrusive thoughts. Trigger: the media and current events. It is commonplace for people to have outbreaks of intrusive thoughts after the media report a human-caused disaster. Whenever there is a report of an event that is awful, we all gain an increased sense that horrible events really do occur. and it is not uncommon to wonder if perhaps we could do something similar. These wonderings may even include imagining it happening. If you are already disturbed by your thoughts and working hard to keep them out of your mind, reading about a mother who murders her children or a gunman who shoots innocent children can very well trigger an intense spike of anxiety. This is because you are sensitized to that thought, not because you are going to do that. Sensitization can be compared to an allergy. An allergic person has a strong reaction to substances that cause little response in others. In the same way, you react with great intensity to certain thoughts that others don't. And, just as you try to avoid things that you are allergic to, sensitized thoughts push you to work hard to avoid, crowd out, and try to banish your own intrusive thoughts. Since thoughts stick and start to feel like impulses in direct proportion to the effort you use to keep them from your mind, then, of course, media reports can intensify your own unwanted thoughts. Sensitization has a normal biological basis, which we will explain later. If your stuck thought concerns the possibility of doing something impulsive and dangerous while driving, then reading about a mother who caused a fatal accident by driving the wrong way on a highway will start the process that makes your own thoughts feel all the more dangerous. Remember that your fearful reaction to reading about an incident initiates the process of trying to fight the thought, and the ironic process of the mind can take over and increase your disturbing thoughts dramatically. So, if a suicidal pilot takes down a plane full of passengers, and your intrusive thoughts have concerned a sudden impulse of suicide that seems contrary to your own wishes, you might redouble your efforts to stop the unwanted intrusions. You might even start to hide ropes and knives, even though you are not actually suicidal. If you are plagued by thoughts of bad things that could happen and your need to prepare for them or watch for them, however unlikely, then reports of rare but scary events, like plane crashes or shark attacks, can trigger more unwanted thoughts and more attempts to control those thoughts. Fear of fatal or serious diseases, like Ebola or AIDS, work in a similar way. You are trying to keep those thoughts out of your mind. And when the news reports are filled with descriptions of the disease, and especially the way it can be transmitted despite rigorous infection control attempts, anxious distress increases. Then you try to fight the thoughts with even more effort, and your what-if stuck thoughts begin to feel more and more like real possibilities. And, of course, we are most afraid of things that would be terrible if they did happen, regardless of how unlikely or even virtually impossible they may be. This is another time when anxious people confuse the difference between stakes and odds. So if the stakes are high, like death, humiliation, or jail, then it really doesn't seem to matter how unlikely it might be. And of course, the media tend to focus on those events that are awful, dramatic, and traumatic. There are people who report that they started having unwanted intrusive thoughts while watching a movie, such as The Exorcist or The Matrix. Here is what usually happens. You are watching the movie and suddenly, out of the blue, you get a terrifying thought related to the movie that scares the heck out of you. The thought keeps coming back and triggering more fear, so you become involved in an ongoing and repeated battle with your thoughts. And, as we have already said, fighting with your thoughts that way is the same as handing them a victory. But the fight seems natural and necessary, and so you keep it up. After all, you don't know any other way to act, and you feel an automatic sense of fear and dread and frustration. Here are worried voice and false comfort at it again. Wise mind is not around. Worried voice. Maybe I'm possessed. What if that is the reason I keep coming up with these terrible thoughts? False comfort. Don't be silly. Possession is just in the movies. Worried voice. No, some churches really do believe souls can be possessed. Who's to say they're not right? False comfort. This is just an idea the movie put in your head. Stop thinking about it. You know how it upsets me. worried voice.
Yeah, well, you never know. It could be. You can't prove it.
With movies like The Matrix, people sometimes get stuck on the thoughts that maybe reality isn't at all what it seems, and that it's impossible to know the nature of reality for other people. It can seem like suddenly everything about reality is not certain at all, and you may even have the thought that you are losing touch with reality. It triggers fears that keep on returning. With movies like The Exorcist, the thought might be about the possibility of being possessed by evil, and wondering if that could happen, if it could already be happening, and if you could possibly harm the people you love. Since these ideas feel so frightening to you, you fight them as well. And, as you probably have already guessed, this ensures that they become stuck in your mind. The answer here is not to avoid the possibility of this happening by avoiding media, although that is often the first instinct of people struggling with unwanted intrusive thoughts. We will show you how to enjoy movies, TV, and the internet, whether or not they temporarily stimulate intrusive thoughts. Helpful fact. Contrary to common sense, reducing your effort to avoid intrusive thoughts will often lead to less distress. In this chapter, we have reviewed some important facts about unwanted intrusive thoughts that may have calmed some of your fears and already started you on the road to recovery. Intrusive thoughts, however weird or scary, are universal and unimportant. Unwanted intrusive thoughts get stuck because you inadvertently fuel them by trying to banish them. They fluctuate in intensity and frequency based on the fuel they receive. Triggering events in the real world or the stickiness of your mind due to fatigue, mood, or anxiety, and, ironically, by the amount of effort you expend to try to counteract, avoid, or suppress them. Most importantly, they are not impulses, and you are not out of control. In the next chapter, we will describe the different types of unwanted intrusive thoughts. Chapter 2. Varieties of Intrusive Thoughts. You are now going to hear about the many different types of unwanted intrusive thoughts. This chapter includes some very specific and explicit examples. You might find that listening to it might trigger increased anxiety and distress because you have put so much effort and energy into trying not to think these thoughts. But we know that whatever temporary upset you might feel, finding your own particular variety of unwanted intrusive thoughts will be extremely helpful. We give specific examples for several reasons. You may be so ashamed or afraid of your unwanted intrusive thoughts that you have never expressed them to anyone. Or you may have spoken about them indirectly, leaving out the details or putting them in more acceptable terms. There is nothing shocking to us about these thoughts. We know they are harmless. But unless we go into details, you run the risk of believing that your own particular thoughts are different, more serious, more odious, or even worse, that what we are saying does not apply to you. So we invite you to find yourself in these pages and know that you are not alone. If reading these examples makes you uncomfortable, remember that the goal is to find a path away from your suffering. And there are times that you will need to accept some additional discomfort in order to make that journey. Finding yourself in these descriptions will be a huge relief, because we are talking about good, sane people, people who are suffering from these thoughts, who are not crazy, perverted, or dangerous. Second, there are some people who don't realize that they are having intrusive thoughts. They only know that they feel terrible about ideas, impulses, or certain aspects of their character, just like one of our clients who said, "Whatever it is, it must be the product of a majorly twisted mind." We would like you to recognize your own particular issue in this chapter and to say, "Bingo, that's me. That is what happens. That is my problem. Now I know I'm not alone, and I can do something about it." These examples were provided by people who are just like you, good people. Gentle people, kind people, but people who have stuck thoughts that cause them pain. As you read this chapter, pay attention to your own feelings. You might feel scared, disgusted, repelled, skeptical, or even perversely fascinated. Or you may feel relieved as you put your own thoughts in perspective. Any of these reactions and feelings are to be expected and are okay. Take your time. Go at your own pace. If you are worried that you can catch someone else's intrusive thought, it may help to know that people tend to stay in their own categories, although they may wander a bit from one specific content of intrusive thought to another. We have heard people say that they would happily trade their kind of unwanted intrusive thoughts for some other kind that seems on the surface less awful. But they are all awful to the person who is having them. They are all functioning essentially the same way in the mind. One is no more reprehensible, meaningful, or important than another. Remember that there is no danger in reading this chapter, only discomfort and possibly a lot of relief. Morally repugnant thoughts. The first types of unwanted intrusive thoughts are about things that are morally repugnant. They include harming and self-harming, sexual, impure religious, and disgust-causing thoughts. Harming and self-harming thoughts. The most common morally repugnant thoughts are of harming, either yourself or someone else. Part of the misery of having these thoughts is that your thoughts often center on harming innocent, helpless, or beloved individuals. And the self-harming thoughts are both frightening and bewildering, because there is no conscious, intentional wish to hurt yourself or others. Here are some examples of harming and self-harming unwanted intrusive thoughts. My daughter saw a scary movie about the Columbine killings, and now she keeps having intrusive thoughts about killing her friends or family members with knives. She wants all the knives in the house hidden because they scare her so much. She is the kindest, most gentle person you could ever know, who loves and cares about every person she meets. The thoughts are obviously causing her a great deal of anxiety because she is afraid she is going to act on them. After Sandy Hook, I started thinking that I wish my child were there. But I love my son, and why would that thought even occur to me? I can't go on balconies because every time I do, I have the thought, what's stopping me from jumping off? I could do it right now. I get completely panicked, especially if the railing is low and I could actually climb over it. Do you think I'm secretly suicidal? I don't even feel depressed. Every time I see a rope or even something that I think might be a rope, I have a sudden image of myself hanging from a hook in my bedroom. Why is this happening? I can't make it stop. After I had the baby, I was afraid to pick her up because I kept thinking I might drop her, or even, God forbid, throw her out the window or down the stairs. Forbidden sexual thoughts. Forbidden sexual thoughts are also common and can include thinking about sexual relations with relatives and children, as well as unsavory or extramarital relations. I've been having horrible obsessive thoughts that I can't let go. They are always hanging over my head, even at work. It's making my anxiety terrible. I wake up with a pounding in my chest because I know I'm going to be having these obsessive thoughts all day, and they're just so awful. I can't even watch TV because I feel like a pedophile, but I would never do anything to a child or anyone for that matter. I'm really scared. What if I am a pedophile? For some bizarre reason, I had the thought, what if I were attracted to my brother? Now I can barely look at him and won't go to the beach with him because I'm afraid to see him in a bathing suit. He knows I'm avoiding him, but of course I can't tell him why. I am happily married, but I keep thinking about having sex with this man I spoke to once while I was waiting for the bus. He isn't even attractive. Does this mean I don't love my husband? Impure or blasphemous religious thoughts. These can be particularly painful because the people who have these thoughts are sincerely spiritual, religious, good-natured individuals. It is initially difficult to see that trying to banish these thoughts is actually a distortion of religion, not the practice of religion. When I am saying my prayers, I get the feeling that I am not in the right frame of mind and that God can tell I am not really believing what I'm saying. So even while I'm praying, I find myself thinking about sinning, and the sins I am thinking about are getting worse and worse. I pray harder to get my mind off the topics, but then I hear blasphemous things in my mind. I think I am being punished for a past transgression, but I don't know what it was, and I cannot pray for proper forgiveness. So I am praying more and more. I fear my soul is lost. I tried to talk to my minister, but he did not seem to understand. As I was entering the church a few months ago, I suddenly thought, "You don't really believe in God? Who are you kidding?" Now I am doubting everything I ever believed, even what is right and wrong. My priest says that even the saints had doubts, but I can't stand this. When I am in a holy place, like a sanctuary, especially if it is quiet, I start feeling as if I'm about to shout out hateful things. Disgust causing intrusions. These are thoughts that bother and disgust you, and take away from pleasure in life or the anticipation of pleasure. They usually occur when you engage in something pleasurable. These can include the belief that you will think about sex with your parent when making love to your girlfriend. As a result, you avoid doing the pleasurable act. I know I am a lesbian. I want to have a girlfriend and be part of a relationship. But every time I imagine kissing a girl and getting sexually intimate, I get the thought in my mind about having sex with my sister. It's a terrible thought, and it keeps me from having the relationship that I want. I suddenly get the thought that I'm going to imagine having oral sex with my mother when I'm hooking up with a girl. I have to somehow neutralize the thought or else I'm afraid it will ruin my performance. I get so worried about it when I'm with a girl that I get drunk and almost black out. Most of the time, the girl drops me, and the few times I've actually hooked up, I couldn't remember any of the details. Whenever I'm in a restaurant, I have the sudden image of someone spitting into my plate just before they bring it to me. I know this is ridiculous. I think I saw this scene in a movie years ago, but then when the food arrives, I can't eat. One time my girlfriend said she hoped my penis couldn't break off. I know she was joking, but I'm so upset at her for saying that. I can't get it out of my mind. It has ruined everything. My dog licks her private parts and then licks my daughter. I can't stand it, and I can't stop thinking about all the germs and secretions that are getting on my daughter. Big issue thoughts. The next type of intrusive thought falls in the category of big issues, and involves continual episodes of trying to answer questions about these issues that are essentially unanswerable. The most common ones involve the questions of uncertainty and lack of guarantees in life, the nature of reality, the purpose of life, and how can you know if you really, really believe or feel something? These questions seem really important and almost always involve questions with many dimensions and no definite answers. Uncertainty and unknowability thoughts. Being unwilling to accept that we cannot know or guarantee the future leads to this kind of preoccupation. I have to know my kids will be safe. How can anyone live without this? I can't stand even the thought that something could happen to them. Questioning reality. It is one thing to have a truly philosophical curiosity about the nature of reality, and quite another to be extremely upset and constantly preoccupied by such questions that do not have clear answers. What is the nature of reality? How can I know if your reality is the same as mine? I can't get it out of my head that this actually could be a shared illusion. Everything we think is reality could be a mental projection, and there's no way to tell. I'm stuck on this, and I keep trying to find a way to prove it. Purpose of life thoughts. Some people have intense and persistent trouble knowing we will die and the implications of that. As a result, they feel compelled to repeatedly address this question every time a thought about it pops up. What is the purpose of life? Is there an afterlife? What if there isn't? I don't understand how people live knowing they will die and not knowing what happens after that. I want to believe in heaven, but I really can't make myself believe it. So if this is all there is, we should spend every minute in a meaningful way, but I can't figure out the point of all of it. I have been reading philosophy and religious writings and talking with people who seem to have found peaceful ways of living with this, but I can't stop thinking about this and feeling lost. I'm thinking a psychotherapist could have insights into the purpose of life. This is all meaningless, keeps popping into my mind. Maybe it is true. Questioning beliefs. Our minds are filled with inconsistencies, ambivalences, and constant change. Some people find this very disturbing and continually search for certainty. What do I really believe or feel about this? I have this friend whom I spend a lot of time with, and I really love her, but sometimes she really annoys me, or I don't feel like calling her back. But then when I see her, I'm always upset with myself for having been angry at her because she really is a wonderful person. Maybe I'm really jealous of her. Or maybe I'm threatened by her because I'm not as nice as she is. Because I keep having these thoughts when I'm not actually with her. Do you think I am deceiving myself? Maybe I should not spend as much time with her? Or should I tell her when she annoys me? But that would upset her. Nonsensical thoughts. The third type of intrusive thoughts are ones that seem nonsensical, require rigorous mental checks when there doesn't seem to be any reason to do so, or involve incessant doubting. Losing your mind thoughts. Some intrusive thoughts just seem utterly ridiculous as they whoosh into the mind for no apparent reason. They often feel like products of a mind on the edge of sanity. They are not. Some thoughts are so bizarre, and I'm not even sure where they come from. For instance, I'll be on the train, and I will have a thought that I will start licking the dirty passenger window. Or when I'm cleaning my pet's drinking water, I have a thought that I will drink the soiled water. These thoughts really bother me, because I feel an impulse or strong feeling like I'm going to do them. It's like I'm pushing myself not to react. I broke a glass in the kitchen and cleaned it up, but now I'm having thoughts that shards of glass are everywhere. I know it's ridiculous, but yesterday I threw out an unopened container of pudding that has been in my fridge because I had the thought that there could be glass in it. I'm losing it, aren't I? Sometimes, for no reason, while I'm driving, I get the thought that I might have hit someone and that the person is lying dying in the road. I try to think back if I heard or felt anything, but I just can't be sure. It takes everything I have got not to turn around and go back over the route I just traveled. I tell myself it's just a thought and there is no evidence, but I still keep doubting myself. Mental checking. This occurs alongside the feeling that something just doesn't seem right and that you need to check that out. While I'm reading, I have these thoughts that I'm not actually understanding what I'm reading, so I have to go back and repeat the sentence to see if I really understood it. It makes reading excruciating and slow, and sometimes I just give up. I think there is something wrong with my reading comprehension. After I leave a phone conversation, I often have the thought that I might have insulted someone without realizing it. And then, even if I know it isn't true, I have to go back and reconstruct the entire conversation sentence by sentence and try to remember the exact tone of voice to make sure that everything is okay. And then I start having even more thoughts that something subtle was wrong, and I can't figure out exactly what happened. Doubts about relationships. You fear that your intrusive, doubting thought is an indication of something being or going wrong, despite little evidence to the contrary. I am full of anxiety about my relationship. I have become obsessed with the question of whether I love my partner for the right reasons. I am overcome with fear even though I know I love my partner, but my brain is going crazy. I shake and just want to cry. I have read about ROCD, Relationship Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. Is this a real thing? I honestly believe my husband is faithful to me, but I keep thinking that I do not